Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 11, "But if it's by grace, it's no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace." You know, we've been talking to John Lynch of True Face all week long, discussing their movie, The Heart of Man. And The Heart of Man is based on the prodigal son, or as I prefer to call it, the parable of the compassionate father and his two lost sons. And you can read about that in Luke chapter 15. Well, today we wrap up our conversation about this scandal of grace. You know, when people first hear this message, they think to themselves, man, wow, you know, I love to sin. And if the Lord loves to forgive because of his grace, then this is just going to be a great relationship. Well, in this podcast, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how we can't take advantage of grace because we've got a brand new nature. We've got a brand new heart that wants to please God. We don't want to take from him. So on today's episode of God, Sex, and You, we'll discuss three things. Number one, the bad religion of grace. Number two, is grace a license to continue in my sin? And number three, how important trust is with grace. Today's show is titled, The Scandal of Grace. This idea of being freed up, you know, I always think about Isaiah 61:1, that Jesus has come to set the captives free. Yes. But when yes. they hear this radical message of the grace that you proclaim, some people go, wait a second, that just seems like license to me.
Yes.
How is grace not license?
Yeah. A lot of the places where I hear that the most, it's because we're not convinced that we're new creatures. If you still think I'm a saved sinner, I'm going to take advantage of grace. Grace says, I'm not ashamed of you. I'm not disgusted with you. I'm not mad at you. No matter what you do, I cannot love you more, and I will not love you less.
Mm, yeah.
And you just think, if people are afraid. If they hear that, one, they won't come back to church. Two, they won't feel bad about their sin enough. Three, they'll take advantage and give themselves permission to keep sinning. And four, they won't care about God enough. And 29, they won't. And so you hear people saying, go ahead, talk about grace like a condiment, like paprika. Mm. You can do a little bit of it, but just don't, not too much, because these people will take advantage. The truth is, I have a brand new nature. I don't want to take advantage of anything. I don't want to get away with anything. All I've been doing has been rebelling for so long against bad religion that that's why I fail. Mm. There's nothing in me that wants to just say, yeah, once I get this grace license, boy, you can sin under law or grace. It doesn't matter what theology you have. If you want to take advantage of God, you'll do it under any theology you want. You'll just have to hide more under bad religion.
Right.
But the new nature is finally saying, I think about myself. I don't want to get away with anything. Do you want to get away with anything?
No, sir.
I've got a God who adores me, who loves me, who thinks about me all day long, who wants to play all day long. And he's going, yeah, why don't you hide from me? Why don't you deceive me? I'm going, there's never a chance. Nobody. My wife didn't know how to love me like that. All the people in the world combined, you add up their love. They don't think about me all the time. He says, John, let's go play. To say that instead that I won't care about God enough, it frees me to care about God enough. Before, when I had this God that I felt I could never please enough and that I was always trying to perform for him, who can worship that? Mm. That's all John Lynch. That's me. That's my merit. I had to worship me. But when I realized I can't do a thing, it's all Christ in me that does anything that is beautiful. Oh, my gosh. I want to worship him until the cows come home. I want to worship him. I just can't stop worshiping him. I can't stop delighting him because he loves me. He adores me. He's not mad, and he lets me keep coming back, and he has a smile on his face, and he never gets tired of me. He never loves me less. I go, oh, gosh, God, please, I want to trust you with this out in the open, this thing that I've been struggling with. I'm going to find three or four friends, and I'm going to tell them, and I'm going to bring it out of the darkness. God, I can't believe that if I let myself be known, you're going to still love me. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Not just love me, but love me as much as anyone on the face of the earth. Okay, I'm in. And it frees, it releases the captives. And you're going to say, but I still sinned that sin last week. Yeah, I know. I know you did. If that was the requirement of anything, but it's not. It never says, the world will know us because we behave better than they do.
Right.
It says the world will know us because we love. And I'm going to give you this one commandment. The only commandment, not the 13th or the 12th or the 11th commandment. It is a whole new order of commandment that says, now love one another because you can. And so it is a brand new way of seeing, and it frees us, and no longer are we white knuckling it, trying to keep score on how many times I sexually acted out. We got something else going, something else much bigger going. And by osmosis, I find myself one day going, you know what? It's been like a week and a half since I have acted out.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's been like 4 weeks. I hadn't even noticed. I was just out playing. I was just enjoying this faith. Oh my gosh, it's been, I can't even remember how long. That's this new identity taking place and weaving through our lives.
You know, in the movie Heart of Man, that you guys actually talk a lot about lust. One of the guys that you interviewed, I forget his name, but he defines it beautifully. He says lust is a desire gone mad.
Yeah, that's Dr. Dan Allender. Yeah.
Mm. I guess my last question for you is just, why does lust affect so many people? And is that why you guys addressed it in the movie like you did?
Yeah, absolutely. Because as you know, it breaks hearts. Mm. There's nothing like me discovering that you're not who I thought you were. That not only breaks my heart, it causes me to harden against love. It causes me, think about it, of all the people who have been burned in church.
Yep.
Think about, they not just are burned against that parish or that congregation, they will say the whole thing's a joke, whole thing's a lie.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You get wounded like that, and it breaks your heart, and then it causes you to mistrust, and you lose trust. And trust is how we get healthy. Without trust, I'm just a self-referencing machine, and I never grow up. I never heal. So lust, when hidden and then acted out and then found out that I've betrayed someone, oh my gosh, it not only makes me feel like I'm useless and worthless and hopeless, it not only convinces me again that I'm not enough and that I'm a failure and that God's disgusted with me. It not only gives me permission to act out again and again and again and go deeper and deeper into that tornado that you described so well, it also affects so many people. Even if they don't find out, they know. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah,
they know. They just don't know what's going on. Our kids know. Anyone close to us knows something's going on, and I don't know what it is, but the guy that I'm seeing is not the real guy, and something's going on. So it destroys communities, it destroys marriages, it harms relationships with children, it gets molded into them that this Christianity stuff isn't real, it's just a play-acting thing that we do, but none of us actually believe it. So all of that, that duplicity, that hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, there is no hypocrisy in telling the truth about who you are, no matter what you've done. There is great
wow.
hypocrisy in presenting yourself as who you are not. And if we could get past that and understand the greatest hypocrisy in the church is that pretending, that play acting, that I am someone better than who I actually am. To be able, God says, oh, I delight in you telling the truth about who you are. It doesn't disgust me. It doesn't weird me out. It doesn't freak me out. Yes, I don't know how you got to that place. Yes, that was a goofy situation. I will give you that. But once we are convinced of that, it just changes everything. So we're about to have a revolution of church, of community, of way of seeing, of how we do church, because the old stuff doesn't work. Sometimes I'll go to a church where I'm being asked to speak, a big mega church, and they'll go, over there, that's where they hold the recovery groups, those people. And I just want to say, oh, yeah, those people, the people who are healthy. I get it, yeah. And where are the moralists? They're all over here. Yeah, the people are putting on a show like they got it together.
That's so funny.
It is every place I go, with very few exceptions. Places of grace never say that. They get it. In fact, the whole church is a care group in that way. But in places that don't get it and they want to impress me, that's what they tell me. So,
John, thank you so much for your time. Would you pray for those listening right now and this introduction to grace like they've never heard before?
Yeah. Gosh, thank you, Dustin. Father, what a privilege. And I know some are listening right now saying, you're giving language to the desire of my heart. This is what I wanted to believe was true, but I was afraid to come in from the cold. I didn't think anybody else believed that. And I pray that they would hear that the most important person to believe it is you, and you do. And that there's a whole lot more people now who are coming to dare risk that you could be this way,
yes.
and that they could be this way. And Father, I know there's people listening saying, no, I've done too much, too wrong, too long. I don't even want to know a God who would like me. They are so broken and desperate. Father, would you convince them that God does not want to break them, that they are already broken, and he wants to heal them. He loves them so much. Oh, God, please break through and convince them there's hope, there's freedom, and that their stuff can come into the light where it can be dealt with. What if there was a place so safe that the worst of me could be known, and I would discover that I would be loved more, not less, in the telling of it? Oh, God, convince them that there can be such places, that there are such places, that this is the gospel, and it was made for such as them. The cross was done for such as them, and they have a front row seat, and they are charter members, and they are welcome, and nobody is more welcome than them. This is the scallywag group who started the church, who were the first people picked, and it's still true today. He says, I didn't come for those who don't know that they needed a physician. I came for you. Oh, Father, for all of us, whether it's sexual issues, sexual brokenness, sexual temptation, sexual deception, or simply anger or stuff that we are hurting our friends and community with, oh, God, would you convince us that shame is no longer who we are? That we are a new creature, given a new name and a new identity, Christ in me. I give these brothers and sisters and those who hopefully one day will become, I give them to you in the authority of Christ Jesus. Amen.
To learn more about John Lynch of True Face, please visit True Face, that's TRUEFACE, .org. And to learn more about their new movie, The Heart of Man, visit heartofmanmovie.com. Tomorrow, we're going to start a brand new series as we jump across the pond to Jamaica. Yeah, man. with pastor and author Dion Thomas. He is the author of 21 Days to Sexual Purity, a biblical devotional for overcoming sexual temptations. Thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at Purity Pastor. If you have a question or comment about today's episode, you can visit my website at dustindaniels.org. And you can also do me a huge favor. It won't cost you a penny. You simply rate the show. And also, you can send this show to a friend. Know anybody that needs to hear this stuff? Send it to them. Send it to your priest, your pastor, your minister. Send it to your small group leader. Well, in Matthew 5:8, Jesus says these amazing words. He says, "Blessed are the pure in heart." Why? Because we're going to see God. I pray that you walk worthy today, my friend, as you cling to Jesus. I love you, and I look forward to our time again tomorrow.